This is HPR episode 2627 entitled Home Phone Setup! Exclamation. It is hosted by Sigflup and is about 23 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is, this episode we set up a small phone system.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Greetings, nerds. This is Sigflup Sinislobel coming to you on Hacker Public Radio. This particular episode, I am talking to you through a phone line that I set up. This is our house phone system with Camellio, a SIP program, a SIP server, that I'll try and pronounce again. That is Camellio. I'm not sure how it's pronounced, but it's cool. Let's start. So my neighbor has these Cisco 7940 VoIP telephones. We share a garage, and I snoop around, and I saw them, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is awesome. Let's make use of them. And so they gave me the clear, and I got all the telephones. And the first thing I did was I connected by DHCP and found the settings button and toured the options. And I thought there's a settings button on the phone, and it displayed all the configuration options. And so it's like, clearly this is how you set it up, I thought. Well, you couldn't really edit the options, at least most of them. So the important ones you couldn't change. So I found the manual, and apparently it gets its configuration through TinyFTP. That's TFTP. So let's set up a TFTP server. The only computer I had free is this Mac PPC running Debian. So I did an apt install on TFTP and TFTPD. It actually took me a long time to figure out that TFTPD is actually an XinitD service. XinitD gets its configuration from /etc/xinitd.d, where every file in its directory is quote unquote ran, so to speak. So I open a file in that directory, and I called it TFTP. The grammar of the config files is actually pretty simple. It goes something like this. Service name, open bracket, options, close bracket. So for the options, I found a nice help file on the internet, and you're supposed to populate the options with this. Protocol equals UDP. Port equals 69. Now, it sounds like I just made up that port, but that's actually the port for TinyFTP, or Trivial FTP, rather. Socket type, datagram, weight, yes, user, nobody. Server, user, /sbin/in.tftpd. Server args, this is the important one, /tftpboot, TFTP boot. Disabled, no, and per source equals 11. And then CPS equals 102, flags IPv4.
All right.
So notice the server args option. It's a directory. In that directory, you're supposed to have your, that's where you put all your TFTP files. So I make sure of that. And so there are two files. When it comes to Cisco 7940s, there's one file called sipdefaults.cnf. And there's another, SIP macaddress.cnf. SIP default.cnf contains global settings, and SIP macaddress.cnf contains local settings. That's local to the phone. So, okay, this is right awesome. I need to test this with a VoIP provider. So I looked around and found one called VoIP Buster that was pretty easy. The protocol, the VoIP protocol, is called SIP. Now, there are different firmwares for the Cisco phones to do different things. The SIP firmware was already on them. You can tell by looking at the upper right of the screen, and it says SIP. So I didn't have to flash a new firmware, thank God. looking at the manual, I chose my default to be, that is in SIP default set CNF, NAT underscore enable 1, since I was behind a NAT. And as for the IP address and all that jazz, the phone will do a DHCP request when it boots up. So I found a spare router and had that DHCP running, DHCP server running, connecting to my phone and my computer to it. For the SIP MAC address CNF file, well, first of all, the file name does not contain colons, so it's just the hex of the MAC address. My particular SIP MAC address dot CNF file for just one connected phone contains proxy 1 address, sip.voidbuster.com. That is the SIP server. And then we have a name. I called it outside. We have auth name. That is my VoidBuster user. Display name, outside. And then finally password, and that is my password. All these are, the prefix to all these is line 1 underscore. Now, I got these settings from the VoidBuster FAQ. Let's paw on the phones and make some calls.
So the phone
goes through two stages, it seems. The first stage is getting the DHCP settings and looking for a firmware file. If it can't find one, it resets after getting the DHCP settings. This time it completes booting up. I picked up the handset, getting ready. Behold, not a thing. So I looked in settings via the phone settings interface. Nothing from my config files are found. Now, I went to this thinking that TFTP replies to broadcast requests, so the phone is not really needing an address. I was wrong. Turns out the phone needed the TFTP's IP address. So after a long time, I finally found out that you can change the TFTP address in the settings dialog
right
on the phone. This is one thing you can change in the configuration of the phone. First, you need to unlock it. This is done by pressing settings and going to the bottom where it says unlock settings. Choose that, and when you're prompted for a password, the good old password is Cisco. Who would have thought? After things are unlocked, go up to the network configuration menu. Inside, go to alternate TFTP. It should be set to no. You want to change that to yes. Now you can go up to TFTP server option and enter the address of your TFTP server. Okay, and so reset it, boots up, looks nice. Let's see if we can dial out. So I picked up the handset and entered 001 plus my cell phone number, as VoidBuster told me to do. You press pound to initiate a call, so I pushed pound. A few seconds later, I was calling my phone. It bloody worked. Oh, it was great. Now, the caller ID number you get depends on how you set up your account on VoidBuster. I chose my Google Voice number, so if you get an incoming call from one of the 7940s without, you can't get incoming calls from the 7940 without some sort of tunneling, or you're on a DMZ or something like that. I have these phones, so let's set up a voice system. I have a few of these phones. Now, the Mac PPC computer needs some sort of SIP server running.
I opted out of
using Asterisk because of the learning curve, and I found one called Chamomileo. Now, Chamomileo is in the OpenBSD ports tree, so that's cool. This is Debian, however. I apt-installed Chamomileo and found out that you need a database engine type configured in one of the configuration files. The files are located in /Chamomileo. I really do not know how to pronounce that. After grepping a bit of the configuration files, I found that you set the database type in a file called camctlrc. There's a variable there called dbengine. I set this to dbtext because I didn't want to set up an SQL server or anything like that. Text is just fine for me. Another setting I changed was SIP domain. I changed this to the address of my Mac PPC computer. Now, /etc/initd/chamomileo restart worked just fine. That's how I got the server running. So I nmapped my computer, my local host, and I found that port 5060 is listening. That's the SIP server address. Success! Now we need to add lines. During the Camomileo help, I found that the right command to add lines, quote-unquote, or users, as they're known to Camomileo, is camctl add username and then password. So I typed that in, and bah, it complained about needing an email address. And I looked at the documentation. I couldn't figure out how to enter this email address. So to this day, I don't really know what I need to do. Instead, I hacked it. I found the database location to be /share/camomileo/dbtext/camomileo. And I removed the email address string line from the subscribers file. And after that, I could add lines willy-nilly with the camctl. I added 1000 and 1001 to test. After setting the phone SIP files to the right proxy address and various line 1 variables, I reset the phones, crossed my fingers, and dialed one of the phones. And it worked. I could dial 1000 pound on the 1001 phone, and it called. It actually rang. It was awesome. So now I need voicemail. I don't need a voicemail for every line, just a virtual line that you can call to leave a voicemail. After Googling the shit out of the internet, I found a promising project on GitHub called SIP Pi. Now, this is meant for Raspberry Pis, but I decided to just run it on my Mac PPC computer. The address for this is github.com/FabianHU/SIP_Pi, to be exact. SIP Pi depends on a library called PJSIP. Which, as per the SIPPI README says, I did this. Wget the release parbol for PJSIP. Untar that. Go into the directory. Just do a simple make dep, make install. And it compiled a lot of files without a hitch, which makes me, SigFlub, very happy when things compile. Now, to get SipPy working, the program I'm interested in SipPy repo is a particular program called SipServe. I typed make, and it made it right away. So I ran it, and I've got a bloody segfault. I was so close. So I looked at the config files and edited the mandatory settings, that is SD, SU, SP, LN. These correspond to the line credentials that you have on your Camomileo lines. I ran SipServe again, and this time with the configuration file specified with config file equals blah, segfault. Another segfault. So I looked at the make file and added the GGDB option to CC and the linker stage, and then ran SipServe in GDB, the GNU debugger, that is. After it crashed, I did a backtrace command to see the path it took to the fault, and I found that it was crashing in a line in main where it was doing a string compare in the argument parser. I couldn't really figure out why it was crashing, so I got rid of the entire parser and hard-coded the config file manually, the location of the config file manually. And you know, believe it or not, that stupid little hack worked. So it looked promising. I called the line that the SipPy program, the SipServe, rather, program is connected to. It beeps, kind of like a phone ringing. Then this German guy got on the line and said, hello. I said, hey, my name's Thea, and he talked in German, and I hung up. So I was shaking, going, what the fuck just happened? So I called him again and got the same guy, but he didn't see anything different. So I searched the SipPy directory for any waves or audio files, and found one called ansage.wav that contained the German guy. Wasn't a really pearly person that I called. It was a bloody recording. So I noticed in the directory, when I'm searching for this, there's a lot of timestamp wave and MP3 files. Those were the messages I left. So it works. So I probably not
what you're supposed to do. I changed the Anne Sage that wave file to a nice greeting.
Okay,
so got that working. That's good. One last, well, actually two last things. But now what I wanted to do was set up the system in such a way that it makes a Facebook message to our house's Facebook message group that all my housemates are a part of once a message is left. So I found out that after SipServe answers calls, it runs a script called mail.sh. Excuse me, with $2 as the message wave file.
That's our hook.
Now, it was about this time when I went searching for a Facebook Messenger app that works on the command line for Linux. I found a few, and none of them worked, and one of them was way too complicated. So I settled on one called Messenger CLI. That is github.com/messenger CLI. All this is in the show notes, by the way. It looked simple as hell. It was based on this Facebook chat API, both of which ran on top of Node. I know Node. So I cloned the repo and went to it and typed npm install, some text goodbye, and in the end it completed the command line messenger.
So I ran it.
Asked me for my Facebook credentials. It looked promising as hell, but I couldn't actually figure out how to send messages. I thought for a second that maybe this is the password stealer. So I had my girlfriend message me. It popped out in my terminal. Yes! But I still couldn't figure out how to message someone. So I tried to hack it.
Looking at
the program's index.js file, I found that that it's really a simple wrapper for Facebook chat API. So I decided to look at the README for that, which contained a simple Node program to log in and echo messages sent to it. That program is in the show notes. Basically, you start with a variable called login that requires Facebook chat.api. It does a login call with your credentials, and then it runs api.listen. API is a variable that login populates. So you listen for a message, and then you send the message. The message that gets received has a body to it and a thread ID. And I think that's the reason why
I couldn't figure it out,
because you can't really resolve a person's thread ID from their name, so you have to have them text you or message you. So I looked simple enough. The one variable, like thread ID, I had no idea what that was. So I put a console.log into the dump
to log out
the thread ID whoever messages me. So I went to the house messenger group and I typed Marco, and one of my mates replied. With that reply, unbeknownst to them, the Node script logged the thread ID, this bit of secret info I needed. So I wrote a Node script to take a file written in a configuration file and message the house group with something like, new voicemail at 1109's front door. Here's that MP3 link. Now, 1109 is the house address. I need to run this on my OpenBSD VPS because the MP3 files will be hosted there.
I want to log into
my server with a script. So I set up an SSH keygen pair and was able to log in without a password or passphrase. That's good. Scripts can do that. Then I changed my mail.sh file to contain binsh. Lame. #2 to output #2.
I'm sorry.
$2 to output $2.mp3. That's just converting the WAV file to MP3. Then issuing a secure CP to my OpenBSD VPS. And then secure shelling to it, just running a program called Runner. Okay, now the script. The script on the OpenBSD machine, from there, it runs a script called Runner
on the server.
This is what Runner looks like.
Basically
it's bin plus sh,
echo
all the arguments to said expression, find and change space 2 underscore.
I'll
put that to runner underscore temp. Duez MV MPEG file to the web root directory.
And then
run node running the 00js dot script. It set of the spaces out of the file and it put it right in the place, the right in the place on the server. Notice the duez command. Duez is OpenBC's replacement for bloated that sudo. You can have it in etc/duez.conf. The option to never ask for a password. So that's good. Now let's get to the oo.js node script. Basically, it reads the file, runner.tmp, saves in the variable, it logs in the Facebook chat API way, then it doesn't listen or anything, it just sends a message saying new voicemail at 1109 front door. Here's the link. All this does is connect to my Facebook and send out a message with the URL of the voicemail MP3.
I wanted to put a phone
out by the stoop, but I didn't want to care if it was stolen or damaged. This means I need a SIP2 regular landline device. Turns out these things are called ADAs. I found one on Amazon for $30. It's the Cisco SPA112.
The manual
says that I connect my browser to the IP it's assigned to configure it by a web interface. I tried that and it didn't work. Now it turns out that you need to use the alternate Ethernet jack on it. There's one jack called Ethernet and there's one jack called Internet. So you connect directly to your computer's NIC with the Ethernet port. Do an DH client request, and it gives you a 192.168.16/24 address.
From there, you
connect to 192.168.16.1 and log in as admin. Password admin. The configuration web tool is dirt simple, and just configure it.
You're done.
And that's what I did. Now it's working. You can call in from the stoop, leave a message for us if you want to. We can call the stoop in case someone's there. And the next step is to take a snapshot of the security camera at the stoop and send it in the Facebook Messenger so you can see who's there as well. But that's for another day. Thank you for listening, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday to Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.